last night I got to experience the Sheena Shea live and in person. And like, me and my friend went and we were hanging out outside before we went in. And she was like, what do you think we should be expecting? And I was like, I have no idea what to expect. Like, genuinely nothing would surprise me. And my friend was like, she was like, I've been trying to avoid seeing other cities on social media because I want to be surprised. And I was like, well, let me undo all of that right now and tell you what I saw. I saw three different clips prior to going this event. One was her with Lisa Barlow from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City singing Good as Gold on stage. And then I saw another clip of her talking about all the celebrity men she had had sex with sitting in a chair alone on stage. And then I saw another clip where she was like doing some sort of game with the audience. So when I walked in to this, it was at a winery, I was like, I truly have no idea what to expect. But then at the end, I was like, that was exactly what I expected. You know what I mean?
I'm so happy for you. You deserve this more than anyone I know.
And it was like, in a way, so comforting to see someone who's been on television for years be like kind of C-list. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they were like taking, she was taking questions from the audience and her sister was running the mic. And I was like, that's so fucking real that you don't have a mic runner.
And just the fact that you even know the word mic runner, you're just blossoming. You are just in the club.
It was giving teacher quit talk. Like, it was giving low budget.
Honestly.
But it wasn't expensive to go to. So
anybody can do anything. That's the thing we should be taking away from this.
And like, what was incredible, she made her mom and sister get on stage and then asked them trivia questions from the book to see if they had read the book.
Amazing.
And I was like, no one is using their free will like Sheena. And then she was like talking about editors from the show. And like, sometimes she would say something and she'd be like, you can record this. And then she would be about to say something shady and she'd be like, guys, put your phone away. Like, it was literally like, it was so intimate. And I was just like, oh my, I was hoping Brock would be there so I could smack the shit out of him, but he wasn't. My friend, she's so smart but so dumb at the same time. As a joke, she texted me. She goes, do you think Brock is going to be there? And jokingly, I replied, yeah, he's doing security. And she believed me. Oh. Like, she didn't realize I was joking.
The dry humor comes for us all sometimes.
And then she was like, wait, where's Brock? And I was like, what's wrong with you? He's not coming. You know that TikTok audio where it's like, there's not going to be a swimming pool. There's not even going to be a house.
Stupid slut. Oh, amazing. Listen.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing for back to school.
Good for you, as you should. I saw a picture of you with a little drop ceiling being like, we're back. And I was like, oh no.
We're back. I was there. I wasn't there for a full day. Did about 3 hours. And then I was like, I've seen what I've needed to see. Put together a shelf. Heard a couple speakers or like loudspeaker announcement. Saw some kids. What's up, kids? How are we feeling? How are we doing? Because they're still like there sometimes for like practices and things of that nature.
They're all always crawling over that place.
Then there will be more on this later because I need to do some research. But this will just be a little tidbit that I'm going to share with you later on Teacher Quit Talk. We had a guy give a speech, and then, you know how schools do, because why would you buy paper when you could buy speakers? And at the end of it, he was like, and I'll be selling my books. And I just thought that was perfect.
Oh my,
because I was like, not only have we given you an hour of our lives, I would also love to give you $34.99. Just what I was thinking. I was so in the mood to spend $34.99.
And who among us isn't? I just love spending $34.99.
I was like, that's exactly what this back to school PD needed, was all of us spending $34.99.
Mm-hmm. So here we are at Teacher Quit Talk. Do you want to talk about quitting today? 'Tis the season.
Yeah, let's talk about other people quitting, why they're quitting, how they're quitting, all the things.
Our roots, if you will. We're returning back to them.
I love when people quit.
Me too. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You start and then let me pull up our email.
Okay, amazing. So this, I want to read the second email they sent first. They say, I was doing voice to text and super high when I wrote this, which might also be relevant context if the above is confusing to read. Thumbs up emoji.
Perfect.
And I love that your email signature has your full name and it says educator.
Oh, At a minimum, you need like 3 to 4 email addresses. Like at a minimum.
I have one called Donna Watchman that I use to stalk people. Whenever I need
Donna Watchman.
Whenever I need to like log into something with Gmail to get access to whatever I want to look at, but I don't want it to be myself. That's my alias.
Oh, I just have like, it used to be my personal email, but it just got so full of bullshit. I had to retire it. And now it's that.
Oh, I love that for us. I think I'm going to make a LinkedIn with Donna. Anyways, here we go. This person says, I started teaching in 2018 and left in 2023. I taught social studies to 6th graders for 3 years and then got a job at the high school I graduated from. They say in parentheses, I'd love to hear your input on this because I had a good time generally speaking, even though I did quit, LOL. But everyone looks at me crazy when I say this, because, but it's also a pretty common thing in my community for them to hire grads of the district. I digress.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's okay. If you're comfortable, that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter what I think.
If you like it, I love it. And I also think like it's always something I said I would never do. And I still feel that way. But then now that I've taught in multiple districts, I'm like, oh, that is a really good district that pays really well. So I don't think I could ever work at the high school I went to, but I could definitely work at the not the district, but like at a different school within the district. But I also didn't really like high school. I think it really depends how your experience was at that school.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because the teachers are going to be your colleagues. So it's like, did you love them? Did you hate them? What was the vibe?
And I also, the high school I went to is not the type of high school I like to work at, just in the very literal sense that the high school I went to was huge. And I prefer working at a smaller school just because of reasons. So
valid.
Like I said, if you like it, I love it. What would be nice is being like if the administrators were nicer to you. That is one thing I've thought of, because even though I didn't like high school, I was like a good kid. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like, because a lot of the people that teach at my school went to my school, and people are always nicer to their former school. Students, which like is fair. I am too, but I'm like, why does she get to do that?
I love it. So it says so this is the new job, teaching 9th and 10th graders for the last 2 years is what she's been doing. And then she says, I was totally a statistic when it comes to that 50% of teachers determine if they're going to stay or leave after 5 years. Fortunately for me, I feel like I was in an environment where I had the best case scenario in terms of a teaching career laid out in front of me. The district was also one of the higher paying, more coveted teaching jobs, and the support staff that I got from staff who were also my former teachers was incredible. I was also working with my best friend at the time. She was an English teacher. She left in 2023 too. It was our blaze of glory year. I love it. The day I decided to quit teaching sticks out in my memory. So much context, but y'all said detail. We surely did. She says, essentially, this was the first school year post-pandemic that the students would be starting from day one and no one would be wearing masks. That being said, we had a lot of staff members with young children and elderly parents, so we were all very cognizant of illnesses, and if a staff member felt unwell, they would show up to school with a mask on after making sure they got a negative COVID test. Side tangent, truly, one of the reasons I think so many people stay in teaching for as long as they do is because of the community it provides. Mm-hmm, I would agree with that. She says, I know I was very privileged to have felt really connected and supported by my fellow teachers and to feel, for the most part, empowered by the administration. And that was really hard to give up. And that feeling of community is still something I miss to this day. It's the same reason people love to go to church. Like, I remember missing my church community, even though I didn't miss the church or anything about that. You know what I mean?
You're like, I'm good on Jesus, but I do miss the fellowship.
Yeah, exactly.
I like recently I heard someone use the word fellowship and I hadn't heard it in so long, and now it's my new favorite word, and I use it in place of gossip. So like whenever I'm leaving a party, I'll be like, do you want to come to my house and we can have some fellowship? Like
that's I love having inside jokes with myself. And I love it.
Yesterday our new administrator walked into my friend's classroom when we were sitting in there eating chicken tenders talking shit about everybody, and he was like, how are you ladies doing? And I said, we're just enjoying some fellowship on this fine day. And he goes, I love it.
That's so cute. Oh lord. So this person says, Oh, and you know what? I want to talk to you, submitter, really quick, because you said that you're doing voice to text. So the amount of fucking punctuation you're using in this is so funny to me, because every other sentence, it's like, I know you were like, parentheses, side tangent, colon, truly, comma, one of the reasons. And I'm just like,
mine does the commas by itself.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the future is now.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. But I know you're like doing it. Those parentheses.
Oh, yeah. That audible. One, it just, yeah. Open parenthesis, close parenthesis.
I just like envisioning you high as a kite doing this for us. Okay. It says, all this to say, it is the week students are supposed to start. Students started on a Wednesday. Teachers came in Monday, Tuesday for some prep. And I was super sick and basically didn't have a voice, which is super fun for the first week of school. Oh, my God. I always lost my voice for the first, like, 6 weeks of school because I have nodes on my vocal cords. So the first week, you're talking so fucking much. I always lost my voice. And then because I continued to obviously use my voice a ton, it never recovers very fast. So every single year, voice gone.
Do you remember last year when I lost my voice for the first 2 weeks of school?
No.
Because I didn't remember how I didn't have air conditioning. I know you remember that.
I do remember that.
So
I just have horrible memory.
It's okay. You've produced people in that time that I had. It took me to get over a sinus infection. So anyway, I didn't have air conditioning. So they took this mobile AC and like plugged it into the ceiling. So as an idiot, I thought it was plugged into an air vent. It was not. It was just in the generic ceiling of our government building from the 1970s.
Blowing asbestos.
So I would stand in front of it with my face against the thing because I was like setting up my room, and the AC, my room was like 84 and the little mobile AC would get it down to like 77. So like not good. But if I was standing in front of the cold air, it would like give me relief for a couple seconds as I was like literally climbing into the ceiling, putting up my posters, all the things. So I was doing that for probably an hour and a half a day for days. And then we do a full week of pre-planning. And then the first day of school's on a Monday. That's just how we do it. That Thursday night, I was like, I have a tickle in my throat. What is this? And then it was just downhill from there. And for the first 2 weeks of school, I like barely had a voice. That's the origin of the party microphone.
Right. Oh, my gosh. All coming back.
So if you get a mobile AC, don't stand in front of it with your mouth open.
I mean... Write that down, you guys.
Advice I would. When I think about the chunks of ceiling tile that are probably still in my lungs.
Oh, it makes you stronger. Just like the microplastics.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. We're all more than we once were by adding inorganic material to our bodies. Carrying on. What the fuck? Oh, it says, basically, what I had was a nasty case of strep. Ugh, you only get that from children, I feel. It says, I had to miss Monday to get tested to rule out COVID and to also go to the doctor to see if everything was okay. When I get the results on Tuesday, everything is negative, but they're really concerned about how my tonsils look and if I need to get them removed, that we act sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, I'm like, sir, tomorrow is the first day of school. In retrospect.
Doctors never get it. They're like, oh, we need to remove your tonsils. And you're like, I don't think you understand.
Yeah, I don't think you get what's happening. I don't have time for you. It says, I would not make this decision now, but I was younger and dumber and more willing to sacrifice my body. So rather than make the appointment with the specialist that I needed to see that Tuesday after prepping everything for the first day of school, I drove my butt to our district free clinic to get a steroid shot to bring down the swelling so I can get through the first day of school before I could make the appointment on Thursday. The fact that you knew to go get a fucking steroid shot just tells me like so much about you. Were you like an athlete? Like how did you?
Yeah, like, you've done something. Like you either have been an athlete, you've worked at a very understaffed restaurant.
Yeah.
Something of that nature.
Somebody cooked here for you to know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go get that.
Are you healthy? No. Do you need therapy? Yes. Uh-huh. Do I want you on my team for the presidential election? Absolutely, I do.
That's the fucking team player level shit that I need.
The one that says, let me just go get a steroid shot real quick. I'll be back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
You and I have a lot in common, Submitter. That's all I'm going to say.
So this is reminding me of this graphic that my therapist fucking loves to screen share. She fucking loves to hit me with this one about the, it's not even a graphic, it's like a paragraph where in the title of it is, it says negative thought pattern, having needs is a sign of weakness. And sometimes I'll just be talking and then she just shares it and I'm like, fuck off, okay? I'm in the middle of a story. Why would you pull that up right now?
I don't. Oh, dear.
She's earning her money. Isn't that the most? You're like, don't say that to me.
I don't have time to process that. No, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I don't even have time to like sit and stare at a wall and feel ennui about that statement. I just, holy shit. Okay.
Like, come on. Like, why would you say that to me of all people when you know I'm crazy? That's the worst thing you could say.
Crazy and very, very busy.
Crazy and I'm crazy and busy.
I don't pay her next time.
I'm going to see her literally right after this.
We love therapy and we love therapists. Anyways. Okay, here we go. So the submitter says, I can't remember exactly why I was going to have to miss the first day in my memory. It was something about the weird schedule of the first day of school and when the only available appointment fell. All this to say, I had a great first day of school, all roided up. It was a combination of having a pretty good idea that this might be my last first day of school and the drugs, but I was feeling really sentimental and emotional about the job. I have an Instagram story where I'm talking to the camera about how if this is my last first day of school, it really sucks because I'm going to miss teaching so much.
You knew.
Next day. Mm-hmm. You can feel the impending doom. She says, now I can't recall specifically what happened or what student behavior or what administrative behavior prompted this decision. But by 10:35 a.m. on the second day of school, I had decided that I was done teaching for good and would be tendering my resignation at the end of the school year. Pretty big flip-flop. I can't recall exactly what happened, like I said, but some of the highlights from that school year were having to miss staff meetings every Wednesday to supervise detentions in order to make ends meet. Side note, if we ever miss a staff meeting, we were expected to come into school the following day at 6:30 a.m. for a makeup staff meeting. I never went.
I good for you. Remember the first and I think the only time I've skipped a staff meeting. And I literally was like shaking. I was so scared. And then only my department head, he was like, hey, I didn't see you in the meeting. Were you okay? And I was like, yes, I wanted to make a Great Depression game. And I skipped the meeting to make my Great Depression game. It's so good. And he goes, oh, okay. I was just worried about you. And then not a single other person said anything. And I was like, wait a damn minute.
Redacted. People sleep through those.
No, I literally openly. Fully expected like a sniper to come out and take me out when I was walking to my car. Like,
honestly, the way that your school watches people leave, he may not use the gun, but there is a sniper scope at the very minimum.
This was when I had like the good principal at that school. This is when I had the principal that hired me. He's still alive.
Not in practice.
Not in my life, but for others.
Dead to you.
Ripped from me. Gone too soon. Only the good die young.
Fly high. Can I tell them? Wait, don't make me cut this out of the podcast. When that principal left, the kids like rioted. They had protests in the hallway.
No. You are correct. This is a different one, though. This is my first principal at my old school.
Oh, my God. We've lived
those
so many
kids
lives
did
together.
Did not riot. He just got moved to another school like over the summer. And it was in COVID. Mm-hmm. It was at my current school that the kids were deeply, deeply upset about this staff change.
The protest signs in the hallway.
I've never been so proud of them for collaborating. I was like, so y'all do have it in you. Okay. Like, I was like, oh, but when I tell you to make a poster about World War II, suddenly we can't make a poster?
No, they have to be passionate about the subject matter. We're going to do a whole episode on your school, but I have never seen a group of children realize more that there is more of them than there are of you.
Yes.
Like, they let you be there.
And it was so apparent
like which adults were nervous and which ones weren't. That was my favorite part of it, because a lot of the adults were like me and we just kind of looked out our classroom windows and we're like, right on. Like, and then some adults looked genuinely terrified, like it was the Purge. And I was like, if you're scared, that tells me a lot about you.
Mm-hmm. You can never show weakness.
Because I at no point was nervous, like for anyone's mm-hmm. safety, for the kids' yeah. safety. Like at no point was I even the slightest concerned. I was just like, yeah, they're doing it.
They're
doing control.
The
damn thing.
And they have their own hierarchy structure. They're very organized.
I was like, they have leaders, they have committees. Yeah. Like I'm
not worried.
They're more qualified to handle this than I am. TBH.
100%. God. Okay. So carrying on. It says, at one point, my principal got mad at me because I stepped in between two boys in my classroom who were going to fight each other. And in my yep. defense, to this day, I know those boys and they might have hit each other, but they were not going to hit me. As the staff sponsor of the student council, I also carried a grocery sack full of cash money after our homecoming dance. I'm not kidding. It was like $10,000 in cash. I will say, for anyone thinking about pulling a heist, it wasn't in any teacher's possession for very long, and most schools do have a safe, which is where we stored that money. But it was very stressful when it was in my possession, that's for sure. It's so funny that you were so paranoid about it that even in the submission to a podcast, you just wanted to make sure that you told us that...
You're like, guys,
no cash is being stored by teachers. Please do not rob them. It says, now I have a really great job. I still work with my best friend. Oh, cute. We found a company that would take both of us. We both get to work from home and sometimes we get to travel. Is it an MLM submitter? Tell me the truth.
Oh, why would you say that?
It doesn't matter. She says, we make a lot more money and I've never felt better about my life. But I do want to say, if any teachers out there are thinking about quitting, what if this was an MLM pitch? The whole thing.
Don't.
It's not.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry. It says, but I do want to say, if any teachers are thinking about quitting, but worried about the job market and the interview process, you are so much more filled than so many people out there because you have actual problem-solving abilities and, generally speaking, good at working with people, which in my admittedly limited experience is a lot more than what a lot of others in the corporate world have going for them. Anyhow, love the pod and the extended frazzled redacted entertainment universe. Anyways, that's that one. Summer break is here, and while kids are thrilled to hit pause on school, you might be wondering how to keep their brains engaged without turning your living room into a classroom. Whether your child is catching up, staying sharp, or racing ahead, IXL makes learning a seamless and honestly fun part of your summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already using. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade, and it is proven to boost test scores in almost every state. Personalized, engaging, and designed to actually help kids understand what they're learning, not just memorize it. In our house, we love IXL because it's bite-sized practice that fits into our day. Whether your child needs extra help or just wants a challenge, IXL adapts to their level, personality, and pace so they feel supported and confident. It works for all your kids, too. One subscription covers everything from ABCs to calculus, and it's more affordable than a single hour of tutoring. With built-in explanations, videos, and clear progress tracking, it's trusted by the best. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at www.ixl.com/today. Visit www.ixl.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, here. I quit but was crying so hard that HR couldn't understand me. Incredible. This is actually about last year, but it's still a good story. We will take stories that are 20 years old. If someone wronged you in 2003, I want to know about it. Uh-huh. I'm a librarian, and last year our district tried to make every librarian run 2 libraries without lessening our workload. So what I think I'm gathering from that is, like, you had to be at 2 schools?
I believe so, because my friend, she literally would have to go to a different school every single day and run different libraries.
That's my nightmare.
She had so much going on.
They were like, but are you not passionate about libraries? Like, we thought librarians love libraries, so you'd be happy that you'd get more of them.
We thought 5 libraries was going to be good for you.
No. Like, the more libraries, the more learning, the more fun. I don't see the problem.
Yeah. Where's your passion?
I was in the specials rotation at two campuses. I had to switch days of what campus I was on. Every day I had a sub on the campus. I wasn't okay with this. This was hell. So I guess because librarians, so this is okay. So I have some lore. My friend is a librarian, so I know this. Being a librarian is a very specific degree. You have to have a master's in library science, which is like takes longer than most master's programs or like most teacher master's programs. So like librarians make more money because they have more credentials. So I don't think that should be controversial. And so basically what this district is trying to do is they don't want to pay multiple librarians. It's cheaper to pay one librarian and two subs than it is to pay two librarians. So they're like, you're going to be librarian 2 days a week, and then we're going to put Craig in here on the other days of the week. So make sure you leave something for Craig, because Craig's not a librarian and technically you're in charge. But Craig is here, is what I think is happening here.
They love to take advantage of librarians.
Okay, so one day, amid a full mental breakdown, I called HR and quit. I got an email later that day asking if we could have an in-person meeting instead because my HR rep couldn't understand what I was saying due to how hard I was crying. Can you please write back into us? And I would like a transcript of this phone call. Like, how did you end the phone call? Did you just like blabber and then hang up? Were they like, wait, what are you saying? Like, I need to know more details about what was said on the phone.
Oh my God. I did that with when I had gestational diabetes with the like counselor. It's not like a whatever. It's like a diabetes advisor, if you will.
Like a health advocate. Education yeah. person.
And I called, and I had just gone through Carl's Jr. after getting some questionable news at the doctor. Everything turned out fine, but I just wanted a Diet Coke. And I literally was like, okay, I'm gonna have my Diet Coke. They gave me a full fucking Coke with sugar, and my blood sugar went to like 300, and I was hysterical.
Oh,
I literally left them a voice message on, and I was like, and then I was
wait,
like,
you left the car, the restaurant or the doctor?
The doctor.
Oh, or the or health whatever. Person. Yeah. Yeah.
And they called me back and they were like, are you good? they had labor and delivery call me back and they were like, what's happening? They said, you know what they said? They said, if you hadn't gotten diagnosed with gestational diabetes and that happened to you, you wouldn't have even known. And I was like, okay, sure.
You're like, but also then I wouldn't have gestational diabetes, so it would be fine.
Right. It's very weird because the doctors are like, this is a very serious thing. Like, these are all these really bad things that can happen to you. And then every time something would happen to me, they'd be like, you know, don't worry about it. This shouldn't be the biggest part of your pregnancy. Don't worry about it too much. And I'm like, which one?
That's literally the equivalent of if, like, I lost my arm and then I was at the doctor and I was like, I can't pick stuff up. And they were like, oh, well, if you had two arms, you wouldn't even be here right now. And like, yeah. And I don't have two arms. Hence why we're here in this moment having this conversation.
And my brother's type one. So I would tell them that and they'd be like, well, that's very different. And I'm like, okay.
They're like, do not under any circumstances drink soda. You will die. And then you're like, I accidentally drank a soda. And they're like, you are so dramatic. Why would you fucking call us?
Yeah. Honey, they're don't like, worry about
it. Your body knows it was an accident.
I know. Your baby's going to be fine. Your baby's going to be fine.
The baby loves the soda. Yum, 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 yum.
Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, bizarre. But yeah, I totally sympathize with calling an official of some kind and having them be like, what the fuck are you talking about, girlfriend?
It's like not as bad, but the HR lady from my district called me like a month and a half ago and she goes, I wanted to call you so that you'd calm down. And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Not a good start.
Because I kept sending emails being like, hey, have some questions. No one's replied. Just wondering. And they called and basically were like, don't email us. And we're like, for sure. I'll keep it inside. Those are inside thoughts. Okay, so the HR rep cannot understand you because of how hard you're crying. Honestly, I just pretended it didn't happen. You're not prepared for the next sentence I'm about to read you. Did nothing about it, and I still work there, so I think it's fine. I'm only running one library now, though. So happily ever after, I guess.
If you're happy, we're happy.
You like it? I love it.
I love that you are happy, but maybe you should know that that might not be the most normal of circumstances.
Maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
Maybe. Yeah. Just, you know what? Can you email us next school
year?
You
know what this reminds me of? When I was in 10th grade and they gave me Vyvanse because I couldn't do my homework. So then I wasn't eating any food because I was taking Vyvanse. So then I threw my biology textbook at my biology teacher because she told me I had too many questions. So I threw my textbook at her. But because I was high on Vyvanse and hadn't had any food in days, my aim was really bad. So it just kind of went the other direction. So no one even realized I threw it at her. They thought I just like dropped it and then nothing ever happened.
Yeah, God was on your side. And that's what's happening here with the libraries.
Exact same thing.
There was divine intervention. God was like, oh, clearly the HR is not going to do shit. So I guess I have to.
God.
Wow. Well, good. All right. Moving on. Oh, my God. This one says, buckle up, ladies. And then in parentheses, hopefully no one from the school sees/hears this and that I don't sound like I'm just complaining. We literally asked you to complain.
That's the whole point of what
we're
doing.
That's why
here.
We're here today. So I want you to lean in, take up space, and let your bitch flag fly.
Take up space is crazy.
Some context. I am a 24-year-old fresh out of college, but still in college teacher with about 6 months of experience of having been the lead teacher, which is the main story here, and about 3 years of being a summer school teacher and teacher's aide. I've got 3 degrees, 2 of which are specifically in early childhood care and education, with the other being a gen ed. These specialized degrees do not have a credential attached, but was something that was promised during my time as a lead. Oh no. I worked at a school like this where they would promise not technically credentialed teachers a credential at the end of like so many years.
Maybe the credential was the friends we made along the way.
Is the credential in the room with us right now?
No.
Spoiler alert. No, but 30 kids are.
They don't have credentials either. How come it's okay when they do it?
This says, in that time, I was continuing with my education as a full-time grad student and still am, which was on top of the full-time teaching. Main story. So it's the end of spring 2024 when I received the job offer that made me teeter on wanting to quit education entirely. Everything was great and dandy when meeting with some of the parents, the so-called administration team, who was made up of a husband and wife that had created this very small private school catering to autistic students ranging from levels 1 to 3, according to the state of Arizona. This school was their, quote, passion project, since realizing that the schools they were sending their child to were not really providing the education they wanted since their child was a level 3 student. Another part of this team was a para. Now, they were great and super nice, which makes this worse, because when the elections came around and they really weren't the shy type anymore, Now, the para's child was also attending this private school. The child was a level 3 student, too. And now finally on to the group teacher, who was someone I would look up to when working there. I really thought they would be a mentor, which this illusion faded later on. When I was brought on, I was very truthful about not having my teaching credentials or formal training on even being a lead. And Grant, you were at a private school, so whatever.
They can literally do whatever they want.
They can do
whatever they want. They can hit kids. They can teach them wrong stuff. Like, it's crazy out there.
It says, which I was assured wouldn't be a problem. And that's the general amount of experience I had in the classroom would help me just fine. But it didn't. Early on, I was expected to be doing something similar to what I had been taught during my bachelor's, lesson planning and implementing to a group of students in my general emphasis of early childhood, which never happened. In the classroom I worked in from the beginning was where math and language arts was taught to a range of education levels from K through 8. In here, a computer with the help of a teacher was doing the lessons and each child was guessed on which grade level they were.
Perfect.
There were lessons that were too easy, and so we moved them up. Then it was too hard, so we moved them down. I kept voicing how we should do assessments on the students with the help of communication specialists that would come in. This would only happen around month 4 of 6 of my time teaching at this school. Throughout this time, I was not only trying to do assessments on my own, but I would only be able to work one-on-one with maybe 3 out of the 13 students in a week, given how much scaffolding or assistance in general was needed in this classroom. Working one-on-one was one of my main responsibilities. On top of this, I would need to try my best to gather any and all notes made throughout the day from not only myself, but the entire team, then to create weekly notes to post on the parent portal. All of which I had little to no idea how to do, since I had literally zero example or guidance apart from small handwritten notebooks of what the para and the group teacher had from the prior year. I kept asking if I could get some help with anything, and I would be met with a short, vague answer of something along the lines of, "Oh, just however you want to write it. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be perfect." Like, what? Excuse me? How does that help anyone?
I'm not striving for perfect. I'm striving for just normal. So if you could show me one that's normal, that would be really, really cool for all of us.
They say, I ended up looking online, YouTube, Google, and TPT became my teachers, apart from my actual professors. Okay, to be fair, all of us, our first year of teaching, that those were your colleagues, your teachers, all of it. She says, and yes, I did ask the group teacher a million and one questions, but only with the allotted time she had before leaving, almost 3 hours before I did every day. They were on a different work schedule. By month two, everything turned for the worst. I hadn't been trained thus far and wouldn't be, but this was what I...
It's the moment you realize no one's coming.
No one's coming. I like the peeks into the future.
It took me years to realize that because, like, y'all know, I taught uncertified for years. So I was like, one day I'm going to get that certification and they're going to tell me everything I've been missing. And then I got my certification and I was like, that's what you're telling these people? What's wrong with you? That's not going to work.
God, I felt like such a failure my first year teaching because I literally thought that there was just that the teacher prep program would prep you.
In hindsight, I'm so glad I went in without having any preparation. I genuinely think it was better.
I think the real value, in my opinion, of teacher prep programs is the research and like background piece. Like people get really pissed about like, I'm writing 8-page lesson plans. I shouldn't have to be doing that because that's not real. Teachers don't really do that. You're correct. They do not really do that. But the thing is how are you going to write your lesson note on a post-it and like be able to do that if you don't know the why and the every piece behind what you're doing?
Yeah.
So it's like you do have to start there.
That makes sense, but I more mean from like, what I didn't like is that I felt like all my classes were setting up us for a world that doesn't exist. And I feel like all that stuff is better hands-on. Uh-huh. Like, I think it's better to observe a teacher's... Mm-hmm. Like, to me, this would be a better way to learn that, is I go observe an incredible teacher and then I write that lesson plan based on what I saw.
That's a good
that
idea.
Long 8-page... Like, I feel like my problem with teacher programs is they're not tangible. So then I think people come in with this, like, false confidence of how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I just think that, like, if you want to do it fast and dirty, you have to figure out how to do it long and tedious and annoying. And, well, like...
I also have never worked at a place that lets us do that post-it shit. Like, I've always had to submit multi-page lesson plans every single week my entire career. So, like, I'm still in that reality, unfortunately.
I wonder if that's more common in, like, an elementary school setting because we have, like, like 9 preps. Like, you can't submit lesson plans every single day for 9 things. There are times when I have, but... It's not always possible.
From what I've heard is it really varies admin to admin.
Yeah, that's valid.
Because I know a lot of my peers who teach at different high schools, even within my county, aren't submitting what I submit and do it on a post-it. And then I also know of elementary people, not as much as we have to do, because like you said, it's multiple subjects. But I think it more depends on your admin than the grade level.
That totally makes sense.
Which is gross.
Yeah, it's all different everywhere. It's really crazy. But like there are just so many things that they do not prepare you for. And I think going in knowing like, hey, I'm not prepared for like the day in, day out tedium of teaching. But if a parent comes to me and asks why I have the behavior management plan I do, I have the knowledge in my pocket to be like, these are the philosophies I use. This is what shapes my instruction and my management. Like, you're able to whip that out because in a way you have to prepare to be questioned a lot, I think. Like, you're also preparing for teaching, yes, but you're also preparing for the defense of it all. The defense. Yeah. So, okay. She says she hadn't been trained thus far and would not be. But this was what I needed the most when we had students who became so frustrated at times that they would have what my admin HR rep would say, behavioral issues. No, ma'am. They are literally communicating in the only way they know how and have reached their end point. There needed to be something done to prevent them from getting to this point. But yet no one can explain what that looks like in a general sense. Special education is not for the faint of heart. I had students, to no fault of their own, throw computers either with or without intended targets, bite, scratch, slap, punch, anything, you name it. It happened to me and my team.
God.
Been there. We did have a behavioral technician who, mind you, was in the same boat as me, being hired on without any training or experience. At one point, we were instructed to record when these, quote, outbursts would happen, to have a record of it, which felt so wrong and unnecessary in so many cases.
Wait, like record, like take a video?
What they're doing. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like he freaked out 12:15 p.m.
Right. Yeah, if only. So this person was let go around month three and then sort of had a and was sort of replaced before this with someone who did have some experience in being a special education teacher. Thank you. You think finally. Yeah. Haha. No. This person became this admin HR rep's favorite employee apart from their bestie, the para. It was almost always them plus the para having gossip-like sessions almost every time I would leave the classroom to walk a student to the restroom. With this new teacher's assistant was hired on, they looked at me and asked if I spoke Spanish, which I said yes, and this led to a whole new path of uncomfortable topics of conversations. This apparently, not my intention at all, turned into an invitation for them to now start gossiping about the rest of the team to me in Spanish.
Wait, who asked her if she speaks Spanish?
Her co-workers.
Oh, sorry. I was confused. I was like, wait. I thought it was like a parent talking about the other stuff.
No. Says, now I had no way out because when it was all spoken in English, I could just slip out of the room if everything was being taken care of and do lesson planning for the next day or two in the silence of my own shared office. But now I couldn't because they would end up just following me. The office space was not something I could seek out during the morning sessions when I needed a break, which I rarely ever had throughout the day. It was shared, meaning the communication specialist would come in and use it for the grand majority of the day, which I was not opposed to. I swear there was almost maybe four of them in the building. But then at some point, the teaching assistant and I were the only two, with about 9 students by the end of the day, which pushed for me to voice the need for there to be at least 3 of the team by the end of the day, not 2. I went home in tears, and honestly, my mental health was already deteriorating. I had never had that many students to myself with zero help because the teacher's assistant was apparently, quote, checked out. I swear the only minute or two of break I had would be when I would use the restroom, which was my only time to rest, but not too long because, again, it was a shared facility. Yes, even the bathroom. Leading up to my quitting / resignation was when I started noticing small changes in how the team spoke around or even to me, if at all. It almost became as if everything I suggested or said had little to no acknowledgement. It was about a month into running actual assessments on the students with the group teacher leading them. This was pretty exciting for me because I was appointed to sub in the history part of the lessons in the group room. I was learning so much on how to make use of what I had learned in college and even making more progress with the students. I had picked up on the majority of the learning styles of most of the students, which I used to my advantage, and we were actually able to do so much while still testing them on what we had previously learned. When I would voice how great things were going, I would be met with a discouraging voice of the group teacher saying, "Oh, that's nice." And don't get too comfortable, it's still my classroom. This all started to make sense once month 5 hit, when the week leading up to Thanksgiving happened, where I would be called into the main office, which was a small office space, and I was asked to come in after all the students had gone home and the only other person in the building was the para. Within the office would be the admin, principal, and admin HR, and me as the lead teacher, along with a group teacher on the phone. This little meeting would be where I was asked if everything in my life was going okay, because it's evident it isn't, of how poor my job performance has been. What? Excuse me.
I hate the fakeness coming from a place of care. Like, just fucking fire me. Don't be like, is everything okay at home? Because what if I came in and I said, no, I'm getting beat at home.
Right.
Then what were you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, that's such a, in my opinion, hostile environment. Like, you come in and like that you guys have A, been talking about me with my colleagues, not just like among the admin team, you've been talking shit about me, but like, why are my direct colleagues in here? It says, I've actually been doing the freaking best I can here with literally having no advice, training, or basic guidance, but no, yeah, I guess my performance is crap. The group teacher I mentioned is in attendance over the phone, basically telling me that all they've heard of me is how I talk with the teacher's assistant way too much to be actually teaching. Mind you, the teacher's assistant was in there helping me with students because of how the ratio of student to teacher was not ideal if I had been alone. Then I get this whole, this is a family and we want to help you speech. Where was the help when you promised to train me? When I asked if there was a way to get my teaching credentials through the school? Or when the admin slash principal claimed they were going to help me pay for school, which I didn't ask for, it was offered. Literally, where was that help when I was already drained and ran on empty from everything I was told to sweep under the rug about how that school was running, but don't forget to smile when the parents are here for drop off and pick up. I was having literal panic attacks when I would sit in the parking lot knowing I'd have to come back and do it all again without so much as time to reassess my mental state because I knew that almost everything would be surely given to me on top of every other responsibility that wasn't mine to do. Over Thanksgiving break, my mom immediately knew something was wrong and she asked me privately, "That's how you do it, friends, privately." She says,
"What a concept."
Yeah, right? She says, I literally broke down not knowing how to explain that my job was actually making me feel so much pain. I found myself finding refuge in my classes and a partner who seemed to have pulled me into their addictive habits. Don't worry, what I did partake in was barely anything. I never crossed into their hard addiction and around this time broke up with them.
Ah.
I mean,
not to be nosy, but what'd you try?
I know. Tell us, why didn't you include that detail?
Was it good?
I don't know.
For science reasons.
Right? I don't know if I ever published this episode because there was one episode at least in Vegas that we filmed that we were so drunk during that there was just no way that could be released.
Like the kids and the reading, they can't do it.
I do think that we should post the Get Your Teach On one on Patreon. I do not think it should see the light of day in public.
Speaking of posting things, I post videos of you sometimes, but I can't tag you because of your settings. So just by the way, that's been going on. Anywhere. Oh, I think on Instagram I can tag you, but on TikTok I can't mention you in the caption.
Oh, you know what?
Don't turn that off, though. I think that's a positive for you.
I'm not going to turn. I'm going to leave that. Yeah, no.
Every time I see, I just always forget, so I always try. And then every time I see it, I'm like, good for her.
Yeah, it only is because the people who on Twitter were tracing my family lineage back to Hungary to prove that I'm Jewish, which I have no knowledge of being. Those people were the ones that got everyone to lose that privilege.
And like, what if I'm a Hungarian Jewish person?
They were like doing like,
thanks for doing my genealogy work for free. Most honestly, people charge a lot for that. Do you want me to send you some spit? We can get 23andMe on this.
I called my mom and I was like, do you think my biological dad was Jewish? She was like, I don't know. I said, the Twitter says yes. Anyways. Okay, so, but one, and all that to say, as I say, we were really drunk. One of those episodes was about addiction and like how it creeps into teaching because of like people using it as a coping mechanism. And I feel like
I remember us talking about this.
Yeah.
We were in the tub, I think, not in a sexual way, yeah. More so in a concerning way.
If only, just kidding. Don't call HR.
Making so much more money.
So much fucking
we're
money.
We're HR. Who are they going to call? Like,
oh my God, exactly. I was referring to you.
You can contact HR at teacherquittalk@gmail.com.
Here we go. During Thanksgiving, it was only my parents and my sister with her kids, so I felt like having a family meeting with them would be ideal to assess next steps, ending up with the consensus that I needed to go leave the job in order to keep my sanity and not lose my hold on my academics. My sister actually worked in HR for a long period of time, so she helped me write up a resignation letter stating that the decision to leave is personal, when in reality, it's this whole story.
Which is personal to you.
Yeah, that is personal to you and all of us who are listening.
Everyone on this podcast.
And we support you. It says, anyways, I had my dad come with me to drop off the letter and work computer along with picking up everything I had bought with my own pocket. I went super early in the morning before anybody would be there, but I knew both admins would know with the camera pointed in the general way of my classroom's entry that they would be alerted to my movements. Plus, the gate app would say when / how long the gate had been opened. I waited for the para to arrive, and once they parked, I drove away. From there, I went with my dad for a cup of coffee and sweetbread. Then I wrote up a message for some of the parents that would eventually end up messaging me, along with the para and teacher's assistant, how I'm no longer employed there, and I wish them the best. And that, with that, ladies, my story ends. Thank you. You know what I love? You may not have had a credential, but they also couldn't weaponize your credential against you. You just were like, like, ha-ha! Plot twist, you guys didn't give me a credential? What are you going
to
threaten me with?
Nothing to hold over me.
I'm going to go have a coffee with my dad. I can like feel your anxiety as you recount that story. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. What? Oh, I just am so sorry you had that experience. See, a lot of people defend private schools to me. And they're like, you know, they're this, they're that, they're not all the same. And the point is that they are not required to do the things that your whatever great private school you might have gone to or be working at. The point is that they are not required to do a lot of things. If your school does serve all students fairly, amazing. But they don't have to. If your school does have all credentialed teachers, great. But they don't have to.
I feel the same way about private schools that I do about sex work. So bear with me a little bit. Am I against it morally? Not necessarily. I'm actually don't think it's inherently wrong to pay for a education for your child. I don't think that that's a inherently wrong business model. I think especially if kids have like special skills and there's like art schools and things like that, I can completely see why people want it. And I don't think it's an inherently bad or evil thing. The same way I feel about sex work. I like if it's two consenting adults, whatever, man. But private schools, just like sex work, always end up exploiting somebody. It just always ends up fucking being bad. Like every time it ends up being bad for people and evil and wrong. So it's not the actual thing that I have a problem with. It's the way our society has gone about it. Like the way that sex work always ends up exploiting women, always ends up leading to violence towards women and sex workers. Private schools always end up excluding students for socioeconomic reasons or ability reasons or whatever reasons. Like it just always ends up screwing over a large group of people.
Yeah. Well, amen.
That was a good one. We hope that everyone's doing well.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, and love. We'll see you next time here on Teacher Quit Talk. We hope that if you quit, you feel good about it. And if you didn't mean to quit, we hope that HR couldn't understand you and that you're still employed.
Yes, that's a big perk. If you cry so hard, nobody can understand what you're saying. You're not bound to what you said when you were crying that hard. Write that down.
Write it down.